says members of the Harvard Cohen investigative team that brought down Roland.
When I first looked at this and it says please promote, I thought, yeah, okay, who's going to promote that? Not Colin. Colin's not going to, like, promote somebody else's show, and here you are doing
it. Well, it's a show. Come on, it's a fun show, and in the morning, right at the beginning, Bobby, you produce it? Okay, so Bobby, in that worm, that traitorous little miserable not-eating worm, Chris Francis, they sing a little song with Stan Simpson.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
That must be on too early for me.
They sing, good morning, it's early Saturday morning. We realize nobody is listening. We have a special show for you this morning. If we do a show and nobody listens, does it really happen today? And then the purple dinosaur comes out and says hello to all the children. It's a great show. You should watch. And so tomorrow, John Linder and Dave Altamirano, they're going to be there. They'll sing the song, too.
Okay, that'll be good.
So I've promoted the show.
That was good.
So last night you were at TGI Fridays in Manchester?
You know, yeah.
Ooh, what a life you're living.
Yeah, I have a friend who's...
You're a regular Robin Leach.
That's right. I have a friend who really does not enjoy coming out this direction. I have had her come out a couple of times, and I think one time we actually discussed it. It involved me getting hit on by a couple of lesbians.
Oh, yeah. What a lesbian. That's Teresa Pelham enjoying a delicious mudslide. At her favorite bistro, TGI Fridays in Manchester. She could only have one bite because of her hypnotherapy. Anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, so her experiences coming out to the other side of the river have been pretty shaky. So she had me come out to her little area. This is like her cheers. Everybody knows her name.
Yeah.
You know, when I think of a TGI Fridays, I think of like this anonymous...
Impersonal, soul eviscerating king.
Corporate, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, nobody really knows anybody else. You go once, you don't come back.
A couple of his friends just to sort of kill off a Friday night or something. But actually, my favorite thing about this was in the article. Now, I don't know if you sort of... I don't know. If I say this, Joe Marfuji is going to have a stroke.
Do you want the papers or
no, I want my notes. Here they are. Joe Marfuji's had a riverfront recapture, which is this, we lost the Connecticut River, as everyone knows, and we're trying to find it.
It's running loose somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I figure someday we'll be vacuuming or something, and there will be the river. But anyway, we spent insane amounts of money up there just to try to get something going on there. And I mean, I go up there pretty regularly, and there's just nothing going on, but... Anyway, it says in the article, it says, Marfuji told the others that they have an opportunity to rethink how Constitution Plaza and its surrounding areas are used. Soon, there will be one continuous space from the river to Constitution Plaza to Adrian's Landing, he told them. Believe me, the goal of continuous space has already been met up there. They've had continuous space up there for a long time and probably will for a long time to come. And then the idea that the Days of Harvard might move to East Hartford... become an East Hartford-related event. I'm recommending the Taste of Hockenham.
When are we going to have a real good war between East and West Hartford? Because West Hartford's become very, you know, chic.
That's all we need
way.
In this life is a really good war.
Well, there used to be a crybaby mayor in East Hartford who did complain about things in Hartford. It would happen in Hartford all the time. I think her name was Susan Neep.
But that was between Neep. Hartford and East Hartford, not West Hartford and East Hartford.
That's true.
Is there a North or South Hartford?
No.
I think I could create like a splinter group out of North Hartford, but maybe we have a bagelry or something, and go from there.
There you go.
I remember when West Hartford used to be fairly mild, but it's gotten really upscale and interesting.
My son Mordor and I, we were driving through West Hartford Center today, and he was looking around and saying, what is the point of this place? What is the point?
Well, he's not Colin's kid, is he? already thinking just like that.
But I said, well, there are many people who enjoy many things here, you know, just nothing that you would enjoy. I mean, which is true. There is virtually nothing there that a 15-year-old...
Yes, they do. They like the coffee place.
And then they have those cool little, like, Michael's coffee place.
Michael's is a great place. I think West Harbor Center is okay, but it is too bad that there is not, for example, a place where you could buy recorded music or something like that.
Well, there was a great hobby shop that keeps getting smaller, and I'm disturbed by that.
More in pieces?
Yeah, it used to be twice as big as it is. That was a fantastic place.
Mm-hmm.
I love that place.
No, it's all about chicken under a brick or something now. It's all about one restaurant after another, basically. And then I wanted to quickly mention this other page one story in the Current today about the Sosins. These are the people that are getting divorced.
Yeah, that was interesting.
How are you?
Hey, Colin, really quick, I don't want to waste any of your time, but just so you know, because I remember last time I talked to you, I said that there was going to be like this month-long hiatus.
Yeah.
They actually, due to popular demand, bumped up their scheduling, and they're actually going to be airing a new episode this coming Wednesday.
Brand new live episode on Wednesday, party in my apartment to watch it.
I didn't get my invite yet, by the way. Oh.
No. Well, if I could see... Is there any way that you could just produce some kind of documentation or something, like even just a letter of reference from somebody who I would believe that you're not a psycho killer? Then you could come watch Lost in my apartment.
Well, my minutes are almost leveled out.
All right.
He doesn't invite us over, Bill, but yeah,
you want to come watch Lost in my apartment? You
I've never
come watch
been
Lost.
Invited.
All right, well, consider yourself invited. Right now, thanks. For this Wednesday, 8 p.m., but you can't bring those snotty-nosed little kids.
I'm probably going to want to talk to you or chit-chat or something.
Yeah. Exactly. You can't talk to me. That was the problem the last time anybody came over.
Yeah, and you got to do the I've never seen this show thing. Who's that? Why is he so angry? What is it? What's wrong with his eye?
Wait, what show did that guy used to be
on? I made the mistake of having Carrie Sheinberg and Rand Cooper and his beautiful wife Molly come over and watch Lost, and except for Molly and my son Mortimer, and they all talked and they made fun of him. They said, oh, I don't like, she's a jerk. I don't even know why he likes her. I mean, well, we're trying to watch the show. I hate that.
Yeah, it's the price you pay when you have people over.
Yeah, exactly. What was I thinking?
What kind of preparations do you make when people come over? Do you, like, clean? Do you go shopping? You buy good groceries?
Mainly motion sensors. Get them all set up. Make sure they're working.
It's kind of cool, because I thought there was a little man that turned on the bathroom light when you walked in.
Coordinated cool. Lasers with the motion sensors.
I mean, do you, like, light candles?
Yeah, there's nobody that you would know to ask, but I can have people over, and that's nice in the food is good. I'm a
61 great copies of the latest Men's Health.
Oh,
please direct your attention to page 44.
I'm a good cook and my apartment's nice and people have a good time.
Oh, you have a tastefully decorated apartment. That's right.
Sort of tastefully, not exactly tastefully decorated.
Well,
it's a nice apartment.
You've kind of junked it up.
I was at a social occasion with Colin once, and he was extremely disruptive. And yeah, Prudence hasn't called you in a long time, has she?
I was pretty bad at that one. All right, we have to go. Of the 155 baseball writers who are Hall of Fame voters polled, said they would definitely vote Mark McGwire into the Hall of Fame if he would give them steroids. It's time for Sports Antoine, the very first, if there's four of us, for the very French sports discussion segment. Mademoiselle Theresa Pelham, Monsieur Bill Heald,
oui.
Monsieur Kevin Nathan, and myself, Louis Gaston de la Mer. Are you there?
I'm here. What's right. Happening?
So anyway, we have Joe from Southington who'd like to converse with us, and here he comes. Hi, Joe.
How you guys doing?
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting today. Hey, no more Taste of Hartford? Geez, what's going on with this?
It was on hiatus. It may come back.
Were you a regular, Joe?
A regular to Taste? Well, I used to, I guess you could say that.
You used to go and get hammered there is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
You don't remember the food, but there must have been some. Yeah.
Some Jolt Cola and some Hollandaise sauce, and you got a party.
That's right. I tried sushi for the first time at the Taste of Hartford.
Bad idea.
And I stopped eating. I never ate it again for another, like, 12 years. Now right. I love it, but...
You probably have to go to a restaurant for that.
Yeah, yeah. It turned me off for a little while.
And this recapture thing, what's going on with that as well? You know, it's like just stagnation.
The Riverrun recapture?
Yeah, they're just clearing a way for the city to slide into the river there.
Maybe that's their secret plan. That would explain everything, Joe. You may have actually sort of...
It's the world's largest boat ramp.
Yeah,
or a big ice skating rink, because we could have the, the whalers play again.
They have continuous space.
Yeah. It'd be a wonderful thing.
Now, where is that coming from? Is Bobby playing that, or are you playing that? Oh, he's playing that. He's doing that again.
I'm sorry.
That's sick and disgusting.
I know. It's a good song, though.
What is it?
You're basically playing the Whalers' Fanfare from Hell, whatever it's called.
Yeah,
what is
it called?
It's what they play in Brass Bonanza. That's what it's called.
Joe, have you been to the boathouse,
though? They play on the elevators in Hell.
The boathouse?
the Joe Marfucci's boathouse.
Oh, the boathouse is nice. That's
nice. Gorgeous.
I mean, like, actually, River Run Recapture, I don't mean to suggest that Joe Marfucci and River Run Recapture are ineffectual or anything like that, but there's just a lot. I mean, that kind of thing is great, and the way they've really tried to liven up the little parks up and down the river is great, but there's, like, a lot of concrete out there that nobody really sits on and does anything at.
There's no, like, living people in, checking out what's going on.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Now, I think we need to introduce alligators. A little bit of...
There we
put
go.
Some hazard into it.
Yeah, or zebra mussels, giant mutant zebra mussels. We got them anyway. So feed them steroids, get them really big, and...
put them to work. No, we can't have our zebra mussels.
If they pulled a kayaker down every once in a while, you'd have something going on there.
Exactly.
You get Animal Planet out here?
Yeah, zebra mussels and Eurasian milfoil. It's
Eurasian milfoil. That's the weed that kills, right?
Well, I could, yeah.
On the hogweed. Got hogweed.
Part weed, part animal, pure evil. We get a movie out of it, too. All right, thanks for your call. I like the way his mind works, though.
It is.
I will quickly tell you a very... mind works, though.
It is.
I will quickly tell you a very boring story about the Taste of Hartford, which is that one day I was running through the Taste of Hartford, and it was one of those days where I hadn't had any time to eat. And my friend Binh Duong, who ran the incredible Vietnamese restaurant Truck for a long time.
The happy Vietnamese truck man.
No, not the happy. He ran a restaurant called Truck, T-R-U-C. It was a high-end Vietnamese restaurant that, you know, French chefs wouldn't show up at. But he was an incredible cook. But anyway, he was there. We had a booth at the Taste of Hartford. And I was just kind of running by, and I said, I haven't eaten all day. And he said, here. And he gave me some food, which I ate, I wolfed down. And he gave me a can that said, like, lemon iced tea zest or something, which I just chugged because I was so thirsty, and it was a hot day. And I didn't realize it was like one of those wine coolery things. I mean, I drank this thing in about 10 seconds.
And can you since use that on an emergency
tape? And yeah, you could not have consumed that amount of liquid any faster than I did. And I became a maniac.
Buzzwater chaser, and you got a party, buddy.
You betcha.
Holiday weekend. As usual, we attended the Easter egg hunt on Larry Alabozek's lawn. You know, you really don't understand the holiday until you've put on a lavender bunny suit and headed out into the chilly dawn with a metal detector. When I haven't been dirt diving for Krugerrands, I've been exercising, getting myself in shape for the big house. Especially in that all-important area of clamping my cheeks together, gluteal isometrics. If some chick forger the size of Suleiman Juan decides he wants me for a girlfriend, he's going to find out there's no room at the inn. Not only can I hold a quarterback there in Charmin country for about 5 hours, I can clamp down hard enough to read In God We Trust with my membranes. It's like buttock braille. And the other thing I've been doing, especially on Easter weekend, is communing with my Savior. And when Willie Dow gets tired of talking to me, I also pray to Jesus. As you've probably heard, I've pledged my soul to Jesus. As we all know, Jesus' message is one of forgiveness. But it's easy to forget his other message, punishment for evildoers and wretchings. When I pray to Jesus, I include in my prayers the names of DeRosa, Holbrook, Pagani, Regalier, and I ask Jesus to roast them like marshmallows in the roaring fires of hell. And the media, too. They should be poked with red-hot irons by the minions of Beelzebub and that insufferable loser Curry. Why didn't he die in that boating accident? But I digress. Let me make one thing perfectly clear. I may be leaving for a little while, but I'll be back. People may be laughing now, but they'll rue the day they took the name of 15623014 in vain. 15623014, 15623014. Thank you, Connecticut. Now don't smoke all the good cigars while I'm gone.
Well, that was a beautiful little send-off. And we will actually have the actual real words of Governor Rolland coming up, as we say, after the 3:30 news. Should we go to the phones here? This we owe to the efforts, at least probably, of newsman extraordinaire Matt Dwyer, who was successful in getting permission to have the audio of Governor Rowland's actual remarks to federal court. This is several Fridays ago when he was sentenced. And we're just going to play it for you. It's about 7 minutes long, so settle in. And, you know, it is like a Bruce and Colin after-school special. You can get the kids around and just say, look, if you ever get caught doing something bad, just you want to say something kind of like this.
Your Honor, I decided to try to put some thoughts on paper that I would like to share with you. And with your indulgence, I will refer to these notes and try to convey to you how I feel today. In over 25 years of being in public service, I've given many, many speeches, and but this is not a speech. This is an explanation, or I would say at least an attempt to explain how I violated the law and subsequently lost a career and lost the respect of the people that I have tried to serve. I recognize that there are those who will view these remarks as insincere and calculated. I don't think I'd ever be able to convince them otherwise. But I want you to know that this is how I feel, Your Honor, so please bear with me. Judge Dorsey, I'm ashamed to be here today, and I accept full responsibility for my actions. I have embarrassed myself, my family, and the many people who have placed their faith in me over the past 25 years. I have let down the people that I love and the people that I've attempted to serve. And I have damaged their faith in government. I began a career in public service with high ideals and values. I was proud to be part of a family that served the public for two generations. I am grateful for the wonderful opportunities that I've experienced during this time, during the time I served in the state legislature, United States Congress, and as governor. I sincerely believe that I've had a positive impact and effect on many citizens of this state and on the cities and towns in which they live. However, I realize that whatever good works I have accomplished will be overshadowed by the events that have led me here today, and I bear total responsibility for that. As I look back, I can see over the years that I lost sight of my ethical judgment, and indeed, there are no excuses. I do not blame anyone but myself. Over time, a sense of entitlement and even arrogance developed along with my time in office. I let my pride get in the way. I should have paid closer attention to all that went on in my office. Honorable public service requires performance along strict ethical lines, a test that I failed. Instead, I accepted the generosity and gratuities of others without considering the source of those gratuities. Great success in life, and I believe success in public office, can sometimes cloud one's sense of right and wrong. And in my case, it resulted in serious errors of judgment. This has been a long and painful and humiliating process. I have lost my career, the respect of others, and to a great extent, my own self-respect. And as painful as this has been for me, it has been worse for my family. Being the children and stepchildren of the governor is a difficult burden to bear, even in good times. But in bad times, it is overwhelming. Worse for a father than to know that he has let his children down. And as strong as my wife Patty is, I know that this is also tearing her apart. I began my life in politics as someone who wanted to serve. While I made mistakes, those same basic instincts remained. I'm confident that I can continue to serve others in some way. I do believe that there is a spiritual purpose in all the tragedies and all the failures that we encounter in life. And my strength and my family's strength. Now, although this has been a horrific experience for me, it has also been a humbling and meaningful journey towards personal and spiritual growth. I realize how blessed I am to have such a wonderful, supportive family, to have enduring friendships, and to have a strong faith. My greatest concern is the well-being of my wife, Patty, and our 5 teenage children. I want to begin providing for them and to be the husband and the father that they deserve. These are the times when they need me most. They have experienced humiliation long enough. It is my greatest wish to bring happiness back into their lives. I believe I possess the ability to make a contribution to better the lives of others. I believe I've done so in the past, and I hope to do so in the future. But most importantly, I want to give my family their lives back. Your Honor, I want my family to know, I want my friends to know, and I want the people of the state of Connecticut to know that I am sorry and I ask for their forgiveness.
That that concludes the statement of Governor Rowland to the federal court, and you know,
Holland shall return.
Well, according to this civil rights settlement announced by the Justice Department, some black customers were experiencing discrimination at Cracker Barrel restaurants. Mm-hmm. Some were segregated, and others were refused service by white waiters. And Cracker Barrel said, "Well, we are called Cracker Barrel, aren't we?" Can't say we didn't warn you.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry.
Lieberman. Oh, we have. He wants us to get this one last call. I don't know how we can do that in 4 minutes. 4 seconds, I mean.
We have an extra minute.
Ruth. Hi, Ruth.
Hello. Hi, good afternoon. Well, is it possible that Governor Rowland will still continue on with his consulting jobs that he has, the $15,000 a month, at the...
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't know.
Getting a hold of meeting to cell phone?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you know, he's a consultant.
Yeah.
He could do it from jail, no problem.
He could.
Yeah, we've had consultants here at the radio station who are in prison, so it is possible.
Stop it.
Or should have been.
Does he continue to get it?
I doubt that they... I mean, look, what we need in some seriousness here is some kind of understanding of what those two entities, the National Science Center Foundation or whatever they were called, and Kluwens, thought they were getting from this guy, why he would be worth that kind of money to them. And that's why I do think that I think Chris Caruso is going to have open hearings at GAE about this at one of the committees in the legislature. And I think that's required. We got to know what that was in the first place.
Gigantic. 50,000 watt radio station. We can't afford to buy our own CDs. We have to borrow them from somebody.
People, yeah. Did you want to mention your brush with the law last night?
Well, it wasn't really a brush with the law. I can mention it.
You were pulled over and questioned.
I wasn't
with a local crime.
There was no questioning going on. No questioning. See, Bobby's laughing because he knows already you have taken a little teeny, beatsy story.
I thought you wanted to talk about this.
Jacked this thing right out of sight. Well, I went to the subway.
When we were off the air, there was something you wanted to say about
my wife, and I was coming home with my wife, and we drove into the subway parking lot in Avon last night just to get a sandwich, and the place was closed. So we turned to leave the parking lot, and the local Avon police came up behind me with blue lights and everything, and and the guy got out, and I wasn't speeding because it was in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And I went and stopped very, diligently stopped at the stop sign. And so he came up, and I said, "What's the deal?" And he said, "Well, we had an alarm at Subway, and you were just there." So I said, "Well, we just..."
Is that all he said? He didn't say?
No, he never asked me for anything, a license or any of that stuff. I said, "Well, we were just trying to get a sandwich, but the place was closed."
Yeah.
And so I said, "By the way, do you happen to know if the other Subway is open up the street?" I thought it was a nice light touch.
Yeah.
He laughed and said, "Go ahead."
So you were kind of questioning in connection with a...
I would hardly call that questioning. Yeah. I mean, it was just merely mentioned.
It was an implied question.
And I did notice as I was driving off, thank you, by the way, for making this a bigger deal than it ever was, that they were walking around the building, looking into the windows and stuff.
Yeah.
So, probably just one of those things, the alarm went off.
The mayonnaise overheats or something and, triggers the alarm system.
Right.
Like that.
Yep. But that was my brush with the law. Yeah. Thanks for...
But clearly,
no, there's no clearly about it. That's where it ended.
Let me just say, I think this is bad police work because he pulls you over.
Oh, good. That's good. Yeah, let's just.
He pulls you over, and then he does what? I mean, he just.
Well, I wondered why he didn't ask me.
Why he pulled you over.
He didn't ask me what for my license or anything.
Right, or, you know, were you in there?
Of course, I don't have one, but. Yeah. No, I do have one, but I. He didn't question me at all. I mean,
yeah,
just
but,
like.
And it's one thing, I mean, maybe he looked at. Did he try to flashlight at Mrs. Stevens?
No.
Are they supposed to do that?
I would think they would be shining their light inside the car to
yeah,
check and see what's
who
in there.
Who else is in there, you know? I
right.
You could have Angela Davis in the car with you for all he knew.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Anyway, we just.
It means they solve any crimes in Avon.
Okay. Yeah. I was about to tell
there's
him.
There's something that I could say here, but I've got so much trouble with the Avon police that I'm not going
please
to.
Please don't. But
I think everybody who's listening knows what that thing is, if you know anything about the Avon Police Department.
Okay, I think we got that. Okay. Now, I was about to drop Dunaway's name.
Right.
Because, you know, he lives over there, so I thought it might help me out.
Yeah. They're investigating him about 6 or 7 different crimes. That wouldn't be a good thing to bring up.
We could have. Sherwood and the boys live over there, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
They're being investigated by the health department, not the police. Well, I have to mention, you're the only person I can talk to about things like this because you understand me. But I was watching television.
Wait a minute. I understand you?
Well, as close as anyone ever comes. I became upset by the Pods commercial. You know the Pods? You know these, like, big cubes that you put all your stuff in? They bring a cube over and you put all your stuff in it.
Yeah, I saw one of those trucks the other day.
Have you seen the commercial for them?
Probably.
Well,
my memory.
They say, you know, I mean, you can get, well, the one that I saw has this guy. He looks like
a big,
squishy guy. looks like, and he's trying to pull... He's got a rental truck that you can tell is a Taylor rental, but they just show you a little part of the side. And he's trying to pull, you know, there's a little ramp that you can pull out, you know, there's like a little thing, metal thing that you pull out and it folds down and become a ramp. And he can't even get that out of there, you know. He's going nuts. And so then they show the Pods and these pristine white cubes with red letters, you know, they're brought in there and you put all your stuff in there and then, you know, you fill it up at your leisure and... Then they come and they take it, and it goes God knows where. But then at one point, this is the part that I found kind of upsetting. They showed this, like, forklift in this big warehouse full of white cubes. They show your stuff going up there to be piled on top of, you know, this big stack of white cubes.
Yeah.
Gigantic.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. It's just like, it's like the Matrix or something. I mean, it's like this very, it's like you're in there listening to your iPod, you know, curled in a fetal position in amniotic fluid or something. It's like this idea that they really want to, like, store us. It was very upsetting.
It's stuff.
I know what it's stuff, but, well, you know, there's something sort of so sterile and futuristic about the whole thing. It was a very Orwellian kind of vision. Like, we're going to get you and your stuff in these cubes, and we're going to stack them up. And we'll let you out when we're ready.
Wait a minute. When did you get involved? They don't put you in the pod. It's just your stuff is in there.
But your stuff, you and your stuff, are metaphors for each other. Syndecticy or metonymy or one of those English teacher words. I was upset by it.
Okay. Well, I understand you could be upset by it.
Do you think there's a podding that's going on in America? You know, they put your stuff in pods. You get an iPod and listen to it. It's like we're pod people. We're turning into pod people. It's a body snatching thing. Believe me, I'm not wrong about this. And I've written a number of letters to the FBI in aluminum foil about this, so I'm sure there'll be some action.
Uh-huh. Sure you don't want to, like, crunkle that up in a little ball and, like, stick it on top of your head?
Oh, no, because they can use that to track you. Never do that.
Okay.
Never do that. They can use that to track you.
We've had people who've called the show who did that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Didn't we have a few that used to do that?
We have people who call this show whose primary interface with reality is through aluminum foil. Now, Lieberman on...
I wonder who we could be referring to.
Okay. Lieberman on Meet the Press... He really is turning into, like, this southern redneck and stuff. So at one point, he said something like, I tried to get the transcript of this today, and I was unsuccessful, but he said, he was talking about the founders of America, and they believed in God, and in creation. He goes, and then at one point, it was kind of a slip of the tongue, but it's basically because he's spending all of his time at these, you know, fanatical, snake-handling, you know, evangelical Southern Baptist rallies where he's worshipped like a golden calf or something. But he said, and so, you know, creationist principles are really at the heart of the founding of this country. He used the word creationist. Well, to me, creationist means we don't believe in evolution. We don't believe in monkeys. You know, that's what creationist means to me. So, and I think it was a slip of the tongue. I don't think he meant to say that. I think he probably meant the idea of a creator, deism, whatever, you know. But, I mean, he said creationist, that we were fundamentally a creationist country. And then he also went on to talk about, and I really don't want to debate the Terry Schiavo case, but he did express his views that putting the tube in was the right thing to do, and that congressional intervention was the right thing to do because of due process. Now, think about this. This case went to every court except for, like, Pensacola Night Traffic Court. This case has been reviewed by every court that could possibly have jurisdiction, state and federal. And he thinks there was no due process? He's got to be high. I mean, that's a delusional statement. And that's a crazy thing to say, that there wasn't due process.
99 only at my Bob's Discount Furniture.
Won't you sleep better with an extra $1,300 in your pocket?
Who are you going to call?
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Connecticut, and all the ships at sea. This is former Governor Rowland, now better known as Federal Inmate 15623014, with a few final thoughts before I head off to the slammer. My family and I had a lovely holiday weekend. As usual, we attended the Easter egg hunt on Larry Alabozek's lawn. You know, you really don't understand the holiday until you've put on a lavender bunny suit and headed out into the chilly dawn with a metal detector. When I haven't been dirt diving for Krugerrands, I've been exercising, getting myself in shape for the big house. Especially in that all-important area of clamping my cheeks together, gluteal isometrics. If some chip forger the size of Suleiman Juan decides he wants me for a girlfriend, he's going to find out there's no room at the inn. Not only can I hold a quarter back there in Charmin country for about 5 hours, I can clamp down hard enough to read In God We Trust with my membranes. It's like buttock braille. And the other thing I've been doing, especially on Easter weekend, is communing with my Savior. And when Willie Dow gets tired of talking to me, I also pray to Jesus. As you've probably heard, I've pledged my soul to Jesus. As we all know, Jesus' message is one of forgiveness. But it's easy to forget his other message, punishment for evildoers and wretchings. When I pray to Jesus, I include in my prayers the names of DeRosier, Holbrook, Pagani, Regalier, and I ask Jesus to roast them like marshmallows in the roaring fires of hell. And the media, too. They should be poked with red-hot irons by the minions of Beelzebub and that insufferable loser Curry. Why didn't he die in that boating accident? But I digress. Let me make one thing perfectly clear. I may be leaving for a little while, but I'll be back. People may be laughing now, but they'll rue the day they took the name of 15623014 in vain. 15623014, 15623014. Thank you, Connecticut. Now don't smoke all the good cigars while I'm gone.
See, he's repentant.
014-15623-014. Thank you, Connecticut. Now don't smoke all the good cigars while I'm gone.
See, he's repentant. He does have feelings.
Right.
You know, speaking of all this religion stuff, I'll just throw this in here. According to the Wall Street Journal today, because of there's a huge appetite the American public now has for religious entertainment, Mel Gibson's
religious entertainment.
Mel Gibson's movie did really well, you know, and there's just sort of this kind of idea, anyway, that that's what you really need to do. So NBC, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, they're developing a drama called The Book of Daniel, where Aidan Quinn will play the role of a drug-addicted priest who talks about his problems with a hip, modern-day Jesus. The priest will have to deal with his daughter getting arrested for marijuana and having a gay son. For its part, Fox is developing a series called Briar and Graves about an excommunicated priest who fights evil in the name of God but also likes hard liquor and guns.
When good priests go bad.
And then also next season on 24, Jack Bauer will be a Unitarian minister who doesn't play by the rules. So anyway, more entertainment for us, I guess. The
they have like priests' favorite car wrecks.
Yes, that's right. When priests maul. They have like a bear with a clerical collar on, swiping at people. You know?
Well, you said when he was Father O'Flanagan, but as I think back, I think he might have been a bear. There was something kind of funny about him, and he ate a lot of berries.
he
ate a lot of berries.
Yeah. That's the Fox version of that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have time to get into this.
Thank God for that.
I just want to say, I mean, I don't have any real opinion about this.
Well, yes, you do.
No, I'm sort of, you know, there's this woman, Ashley Smith. She's a woman who talked that guy Nichols into giving
the hostage.
The hostage, yeah. Thing, you know. And she's been kind of canonized in a way that, and she read that book that Buddy liked so much, and all this kind of stuff. Well, there is on the internet, if you look around, this kind of whole other school of thought about her. She certainly is the kind of person who would have been condemned by the religious right if she hadn't just recently found Jesus. You know, she's her kid kind of basically got taken away from her because she was a junkie and all this kind of stuff. But also, as some of these websites, her story doesn't really make a lot of sense. Like, at one point, she followed him in her car so he could hide a truck and then went back to the apartment. And at one point, she was in her car by herself and she didn't do anything. She went back to the apartment with him.
What's
that all about? And so anyway, I mean, there is sort of this school of thought on the internet that part of it is there's a natural devolution of any cheap news story. And so it's like Michael Schiavo and Jerry Schiavo. After a while, you start reading all kinds of horrible stuff about them. Because if you dangle in front of the public long enough, sooner or later people are going to find out the bad stuff about you. Now, in the case of Ashley Smith, she was very upfront about her checkered past. She had alcohol problems and DUI problems and drug problems, and her husband was kind of murdered. And he was murdered. Anyway, we have to go. Lost in the woods of Kentucky, and Patrick Sparks finds me and decides he likes me. It's time for Sports Atois, the very French sports discussion segment of Monsieur Kevin Nathan, Monsieur Bruce Evans, and myself, Louis Gaston de la Mer.
I have been lost in the woods of Kentucky.
You hit on the guy, and she's trying to explain to him why.
I understand like most of the commercials, but yeah. I don't understand why a woman is like, I'm a griddle.
Yeah.
I'll start treating the NCAA tournament more like the Super Bowl then and pay attention to the commercials. Yeah. I completely missed that.
Yeah, you know, you have to dig in there.
Did you tell Kevin we got his little friends here today?
We do have your little friends from the radio station were here. I mean, from the TV station with their cameras and stuff.
I heard that. Yeah. I heard Matt Dwyer with quite a scoop getting the tape from the governor's testimony.
But we've announced that we announced to them, and we issued sort of an Osama bin Laden kind of thing, saying that... they can't come back. Joanne Nessie makes a goodwill visit to our TVs, our radio station. She has to come here in person and greet us.
That's kind of like a Bin Laden tape where it was taped, but no one knows where it was taped.
Right. I was going to suggest that, you know, for your TV thing, you guys could do that with the Roland audio that we gave you. Just kind of Photoshop in a cave and a turban and stuff like that, you know. All right, well, we should talk about the UConn women. Although, you know... you know what I think? I think this is really good for women's basketball.
Of course it is.
I mean, you just can't have the same team. You say why?
Huh. You know, actually, if the grape had become the state fruit,
yeah.
Maybe that would have cut down on some of those problems we had with bringing in
the Chilean. I think that's the reason why the grape shouldn't be the state fruit. Because, you know, as we pointed out, some of the vineyards here have to bring in, like, Chilean bass. Chilean bass saliva or something. No, it's frozen Chilean grape concentrate.
Saliva.
And because, in fact, the grapes here are too lazy and they're too chicken wussy to stand up to our Connecticut winters. So I don't think they should be our state fruit. If they can't get it done, then the apple should be our state fruit because we don't have to have apples from other places, I guess, at this time of year. Nothing should be our state fruit.
Right.
That's the real truth of the matter. And so anyway, we have many things we're going to talk about in the final half hour. We'd love to take your phone calls, too. And we will be... Perhaps some little bright little stories from around America.
Bright little story.
Imperial, Pennsylvania, former police chief accused of stealing, tried to eat a piece of evidence, a receipt, during a court hearing, authorities say.
Tried to eat a receipt.
Daryl Briston scuffled...
One way to get your fiber.
He scuffled with a state trooper during a... You know, Roland had to eat all the paperwork connected to his crime. He'd be, you know...
Oh, God.
You have to Google his colon, basically, you know. I don't even know what I mean by that, but it sounds kind of funny. There'd be so much information in his colon, you'd have to Google it. That's what the joke means.
Yeah.
I say the joke, and then I figure out what it means later. Anyway, this guy, he's coupled with a state trooper because they were trying to stop him from eating the evidence. He sounds like not a very good... He was a former police chief, but he was also working as a security guard in October 2003 when a tavern owner, Raymond Raymond Hovan,
He was like in an off-duty job doing security. You're the police chief and you have an off-duty... Anyway, but he was in his cruiser while he was doing his off-duty work, and the tavern's owner, Raymond Hovan, tried to get his attention by tapping on his cruiser's windshield with a beer cooler gasket.
Hey, chief! Chief!
Not surprised...